Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Here's a fun way to start this Caravan of Garbage episode on The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Mason. This is from director Mark Webb himself.
Thwip, thwip. That's thwip, his catchphrase. Thwip.
That's what, yes. That's what. That's
thwip, thwip, I've got something to say, he would say.
He said he wanted to create a universe.
James, do the thwip, thwip.
Oh, thwip, thwip, yes. Thwip, thwip, Mason. Thwip, thwip, I've got something to say.
Terrific.
I want to create a universe that can withstand and anticipate future storylines while also working in and of itself for one movie. How do you think this movie fares? Please leave a like. How do you think this movie fares in that regard? Please leave a like.
Please do. A lot of setup, let me tell you, in this movie. I tell you what, that felt very synergistic. It felt very company man. I don't know what Mark Webb is like as a man. Probably a very nice man. Mm. But it was very much like, we've got to cover all the demos and we've got to set up multimedia franchise opportunities.
You can see my performance analysis chart. Mm. It's a pie chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, this is a mess. And I do have good things to say about some of it.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's 2.5 villains. There's
more than that.
Yeah, no, there kind of is. You know, there's Electro, there's Harry Osborn, there's Rhino, there's the setup of the Sinister Six.
You're forgetting the Black Cat, which is sometimes a villain.
Oh, that's right.
You are forgetting Alastair Smythe, the Spider Slayer.
Yeah.
You are forgetting Dr. Kufta. You're forgetting the Basement of Origins.
The Basement of Origins. There's a subway car full of secrets. I have questions about that. Maybe we'll get to those later. We're forgetting about Aunt May is sad that she's not a good parent and also she doesn't like being a mature age student at nursing school.
Mm. She's making a go of it. That's a good thing.
Right?
Good for you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're forgetting Gwen Stacy's going to Oxford.
Going to Oxford. I forgot that.
Yeah.
I forgot a lot of this.
Yeah. It's got a great start, I have to be honest.
Not the plane crash, right?
No, I quite like the plane crash.
No. Why are they doing that? Because they also leave Peter Parker so casually.
Yeah.
For literally planning to never see him again.
I'll tell you why they're doing it, James.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the Sony Vaio sponsorship in the middle of the plane crash. I quite like it. Like, I have a note here that says it looks good, and they're obviously doing the tilt the set thing or the going up in an actual plane thing, whichever one. Or CGI, whatever is cheapest, because they're bouncing all about
That's
the set.
True.
And it looks really great, but I love this.
It looks like the Australian TV show Tilt the Room.
It looks exactly like Tilt the Room.
Is that still going?
Yeah.
Do they continuing
I'm
Tilt the Room?
I'm watching it right now on my phone. But what I liked about it is I felt like they clearly had the money for this sequence, because there's a moment where Richard Parker and like the assassin, I think, on the plane, are fighting over his laptop, and clearly they've received an instruction from the director that's like, hey, can you tilt the laptop so everybody can see it says Vaio?
Yeah.
It's upside down. Switch it again.
I don't think I've ever seen a Sony Vaio outside of a JB Hi-Fi. There's a local reference. Have you?
No, never.
Yeah. I'm sure they're fine, but like, I don't... Is it? Are they?
Oh, just FYI, folks, we're being paid by Sony Vaio for that.
That's right.
That was our testimonial. that was our testimonial there, folks. It's fine, I think. Probably good, I don't know.
But I think the true opening to this, the web swinging through New York City, is some of the best web swinging we've ever seen in Spider-Man, even to this day. And sure, where's he dropping from at the start? Is he dropping out of that plane that's still crashing?
Sure is.
Because he's certainly up very high.
Yeah.
But you can see like the ripples on the suit. He'll do like hand over hand, like scrabbling up a web as he's moving along.
He'll do walk the dog. He'll do baby's cradle or whatever it is.
That triangle one.
He'll do a third yo-yo trick.
Around the world.
Around the world, baby.
I just think it's really good. Genuinely.
It's probably fallen off a helicopter, right?
Yeah. He's also dicking around too much because he's late for his, like, for his graduation.
Right.
But at the same time, he's just like chatting to the rhino. He's like, hey, what's going on? I'm just at your window. Just web the brake. What are you doing?
Sure.
This is a truck careening through peak hour New York City. And he's like, we're just having fun here. I'm a fun guy.
Just kill him and crash the truck. Who's going to know? No one. Snap his neck, tilt the truck over, be like, you must have died in the crash. I don't know. You can't stop me. I'm above the law. I'm Spider-Man. I'll end all of you.
Do you like the new suit?
Is it different?
It's completely different. What are you talking about? Right. It's like night and day, literally.
Then yes, I do. I love it. I think it's cool. Is that because they wanted to make it more in line with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans or like the...
I just think the comics in general. But yeah, it's because it's like it's big white eyes. It's a lot brighter in general. Mm-hmm. But of course, in the street, who does he meet? Who does he happen to come across?
Oh, just absolute nerd. Just absolute Poindexter, Max Dillon.
Yeah.
What I love about... Again, we're in this era where they couldn't commit to true comic book silliness, I think.
Sure.
It's a fascinating design for Electro. Like, it's such a weird take, I think, but also...
It's just a lot of Dr. Manhattan at times.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Especially, like, when he's coming in and out of stuff and he's rebuilding
exactly.
his body.
Yeah. I think it's odd that...
And his teeth.
Yes. At this point, they were like... Because in the comic book, Max Dillon becomes Electro because he's an ordinary, like, electrical lineman.
Yep.
He is struck by lightning as he falls onto a high-tension power line. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, that's ridiculous. So I think how he should get his powers is he should be holding onto an electrical cable as he falls into a tank full of genetically modified electric eels.
Makes more sense to me.
Right?
Probably nanites. What I also love about that scene is, like, leading up to it, knowing that there is a basement full of origins, like, in this movie.
Yes.
That was bound to happen. He was going to fall into something.
It's such an odd place to work, right? Tank full of electric eels in the power department. That's, once again, some big Flintstone vibes there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I also think the idea of Spider-Man fighting an electric boy, mm-hmm. man, in Times Square
yes.
is an excellent concept.
Sure,
like
yeah.
visually, there's a lot you can do there. You can show so many like product placements.
Absolutely.
Some of them even like stay lit as others get like fried out. You know what I mean?
You can't fry a Sony Vaio. tell you that much. The scene where Spider-Man rescues a bunch of people, like he captures like that careening car in his web,
sure.
and then he rescues all the people from being electrocuted on the set of stairs. That is visually spectacular. I know they, you know,
it's spectacular Spider-Man. Visually spectacular Spider-Man.
That's what I meant. And, you know, a lot of visual effects involved, but obviously it does look great. It does sort of imply that Spider-Man can move faster than the speed of light, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Is it?
Yeah, it's fine. I think it's fine.
He can not only move faster than the speed of light, he can perceive things faster than the speed of light.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. Mm. Yeah, and like after a lot of that Electro stuff, the movie delves back into mystery. And one of the points I knew this movie might have been in a little bit of trouble. One of the many points.
Journey into mystery.
Yes. One was the moment where Peter Parker, like he does his mystery wall of like, he's trying to figure things out. He's like, who's a spy? Who's not a spy? I've got so much red tape here. And there's a montage of that. And then straight after, there's a montage of him trying to get his web shooters to like not be electrified.
Oh, sure.
And it's like back to back montages of him trying to figure shit out.
It's stupid, Mason. This is unrelated to the movie in any way, but during one of those montages, there's a song playing. It's mm-hmm. like a kind of like folksy kind of like male vocal song. And I'm like, is this Mumford & Sons? Is this Mumford & Sons? So I Shazammed it. And it's a song called Gone, Gone, Gone by Philip Phillips. And it's got five...
Okay, there's too many of the same word in what you just said.
I know, right? But nevertheless, it's got 5 million Shazams, and I am 100% certain that that's because it's 5 million people who watch this movie and went, is that Mumford & Sons? It's Mumford & Sons?
I don't need to know what this is.
Sure, it's not Mumford & Sons?
You might be right. It's magic, though. Is that what you're saying? That song to you is magic?
Yeah.
I want to talk about magic.
Oh, I see what you're
That was
done,
a segue.
Man.
That was a segue. That's
incredible.
Into magic blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Magic Blood is famously something that has been used before by Robert Orsi and Alex Kurtzman.
May I say? Is it Star Trek Into Darkness or is that afterwards?
I think it's around now. It might be slightly before, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Kurt, of course, in that movie...
What happened is they put it up on their writing notice board.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we've got to fit Magic Blood into a script.
Mm.
So they just put it in a bunch of scripts and they put them out there and then they all got sold at once. And they're like, oh, no. Oh, people are going to see a pattern. No.
Unsend email? It's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah. So, yeah, in that movie, Kirk Kurt. Sorry, his name's Kurt, isn't it? Who Captain Kurt.
Captain Kurt, yes, sure.
He dies, famously, by getting so many radiations. And then they go, wait a minute, just pump this dude full of magic blood. Here he is, he's back.
Yeah.
This time around, Spider-Man's origin is tied in directly to the science behind the spider that bit him because it's got his DNA because his dad made it because his dad's a super scientist and that blood, that combination of things turned him into a Spider-Man. But Dane DeHaan's like, excuse me, I'm the Green Goblin in this one. I've got the Green Goblin disease, everybody. My dad got...
It's gobbling me up. It's gobbling up all me cells.
And I would like...
Hence the name. Guys?
Anyone? I'm fired. Oh, no.
I mean, you're fired. Side note, there is a moment where he goes to the Ravencroft facility to break out Electro, and Harry Osborn, paper-thin former fashion model, just incapacitates two guards.
Oh, he does too, doesn't
he? Just wham-wham.
And he's got that goblin disease that's killing him.
He's got the goblin disease, yeah.
He just goes for it. Okay, let's talk about the Green Goblin.
Wait, where were you going with that other thought?
I don't know, magic blood, something. Who gives a shit? But he's got...
Just give him the blood, Peter. Just give him the blood.
Well,
it's
he shouldn't, because he turned him into a goblin.
What's the worst? What's the... Oh, yeah, that happened.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's not bad.
No.
But here's the thing. I reckon if you'd just given him the blood
he
earlier...
He would have not put it directly in him? He would have tried to figure something out?
No, I reckon he would have put it directly in him, but he also... He'd be a goblin, but he wouldn't be mad about it.
Okay.
If you'd just given him the blood, he would have been like, I'm the goblin now, but feeling pretty good, so I'm not even mad about it.
I'm going to go day to day with this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like my new hair. I like my new look.
He looks like Evil Ed.
Yep.
Fright Night.
I remember.
Somebody should look up his bio. Not here. Don't show it here.
Don't show it. Don't show it, whoever's editing this video.
It's Ben.
Thanks for not putting it in, Ben. It's rude.
It's very rude. But yeah, he has retroviral hyperplasia.
Okay. Is that a real disease?
No.
Okay.
But I think the look
could
of that...
Could we make it a real disease? We get it trending?
No, definitely.
Let's get it trending. Okay, cool.
Hashtag retroviral hyperplasia. But I don't hate the look so much because I've seen New Goblin. So I look at this and go... It's not New Goblin, is it?
No. And it's at the very least, we get a kind of like a goblin-esque face.
Yeah.
As opposed to just ski goggles or whatever New Goblin had.
Ski goggles and a sword.
Yeah.
And a snowboard.
Mm-hmm.
And a bomb to the face.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that
I'm gobbling up this powder, you would say on the slopes. Gobbling it up. Hence the name, guys. Oh, I've hit my head.
Oh, no. But I think his transformation, it's quite grotesque and horrifying, which I think a lot of Spider-Man transformations in the movies and the comics, you know, they can tend to be.
Yes.
And it all, of course, culminates in a fight with Electro, where he's playing the Spider-Man tune on some big electricity coils.
I have a note there. That's obviously the Spider-Man tune. Peter Parker's ringtone is also the Spider-Man theme.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is just a fun little Easter egg for the fans. It's a fun little note.
Yeah.
You know, we're there to enjoy it. But we're not here to enjoy it, James. We're here to pick holes in the logic of stuff that doesn't need to be explained. So what song is that in the real universe? Is it Mumford & Sons?
It might be Mumford. You should Shazam it.
I should. That's Spider-Man theme. It must be a real song in that universe. So what song is
it? Well, isn't it Itsy Bitsy Spider he's doing though?
Oh.
Maybe it is. Should we put this in the extended audio?
Yeah, maybe.
So you don't get roasted on YouTube.
The Spider-Man theme is played on
100%. That is 100% true. Yeah. Mm. I like that he's a weird dubstep monster. I think that's cool, maybe.
I love that he's a weird dubstep monster, but he also has like a whimsical flute theme before he gets mad. He's just standing there and it's like fiddledy fiddledy diddledy doo.
Mm. And then of course we get the fight with the Goblin at the end where they kind of beat the tar out of each other, which culminates in, and we haven't really talked about her.
God, this is a whole movie about culminating, isn't it? There's certainly so much culmination.
It might be too much now I think about it. The death of Gwen Stacy, which is not dissimilar from the comic. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about how a lot of things were left out of this and changed in a minute. But I think that moment, like some of the things in this movie, is like a genuinely kind of touching, sad moment, because I think those two work well together.
Uh-huh.
The problems with these movies are not those two together.
Correct.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And look, the idea of Gwen Stacy in the comic is mostly to be like, oh, she dies. Like, that's what people really know her for until she comes back. But I think it works because they're good together.
I agree, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We've only really had, you know, we've had a couple of hours with these characters together. And if their chemistry was kind of wooden, we'd be like, yeah.
Good.
Say good. It's good that woman died. She was gobbling up too much screen time. Hence the name.
I've written here, it's not all awful. I want to name some things that aren't awful.
Terrific.
I think if you cut probably 40 minutes out of this,
okay,
I think there's actually a very solid movie here. Like, genuinely.
Would it still be intelligible? I think
it
would.
Who cares?
Okay, great.
Yeah, I think so. But the core of this is something. And I think this movie is much maligned because it tries to do too much and set up so much.
Mm.
And I think that kind of shades over all the things that are actually good about it. I think making Gwen Stacy an actual person is interesting.
Sure is.
Because, again, she only became an interesting person after she comes back from the dead in the comics, which, again, I do want to come back to because that ties into something that was cut out. I think the final scene where Kid Spider-Man wants to step up to the Rhino, Paul Giamatti's in this, wants to step up to the Rhino is good and shows, like,
I mean, that kid's dumb.
That kid shouldn't
He'd
do
die.
That. Yeah.
Guy's got guns and missiles and that.
He's in a big rhino
doesn't
suit.
Doesn't even need the guns and missiles, just squish you.
Yeah, but that kid was only seeing the behind-the-scenes imagery of that. Have you seen that? It's pretty funny. Just, like, standing on a box and he's in a big box. Like,
ping pong balls on his face, probably.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But I think, you know, Spider-Man inspiring the city, and then, you know, and then Spider-Man disappearing, then actually showing up and, like, kind of New York, like, rallies behind him. And, you know, the Rhino's like, come down here so I, you know, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, you want me to come down there so you can kill me? All right, you know, let's do it. I think that's all, like, really great. I mean, they probably shouldn't have shown that scene in the trailer.
Sure.
The last scene of the movie. Mm-hmm. There was something like...
But that's not uncommon in a Hollywood movie trailer.
Less so now, I guess. But there was something like 47 minutes of this that was released in promotional material, like, prior to this movie coming out.
Was that all that was released prior to this movie coming out, James?
Oh, mate, I got so much stuff to say. Do you want me to talk about deleted scenes first or the Sony hack? It's dealer's choice. Spin the wheel!
Deleted scenes.
All right, here we go. Andrew Garfield revealed that the original script focused more on the relationship between Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker, as well as the evolution of Max Dillon into the psychotic Electro and Harry Osborn's descent into madness.
Whoa.
During production at the behest of Sony Studios, the story underwent a major overhaul to introduce a number of additional characters from the Spider-Man mythos, including Rhino, Black Cat, Dr. Kafta. And allusions to Mysterio, Vulture, Dr. Octopus, and Kraven the Hunter.
And little, I don't know if you saw, Harry Osborn's hologram table of secrets.
Yeah.
There's a reference to Dr. Morbius.
There is. I think there's a
reference to Australia Project.
What's that?
Do you think they're referring to the TV show The Project, the light news and entertainment show that's been on for 100 years?
Maybe it was that.
Maybe.
Do you think they're referring to the Australian TV show Tilt the Room?
Yes. The two TV shows we have. Yes.
And the hopes of this was, you know, create a line of, you know, sequels and spin-off movies. Shailene Woodley was cast as Mary Jane Watson.
Oh, yeah.
There is behind-the-scenes imagery of this. This was entirely cut, obviously, because it's like over 2.5 hours.
It's a long movie, yes.
You can't squeeze that in. There was also more for Felicia Hardy to do as Black Cat. If you don't know, Felicia Hardy, who's played by Jyn Erso, who has a different name.
She sure does.
Fuck, what's her name?
Emily something?
No.
It's Felicity something. No.
No, that's the name of the character.
No, that's Felicia.
Felicity Jones.
There we go.
You are 100% right. Thank you.
It's too close. That's the problem.
She's the Black Cat. And they were going to be also like hinted at being more of a love interest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So she was going to do some actual Black Cat stuff as opposed to secretary stuff, which she's not known for in the comics, really.
Generally not, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like discount it from like the history of Spider-Man comics.
Sure.
Maybe it's incredibly accurate. According to director Mark Webb, the transformation from man to goblin.
Sure.
It was more grotesque and involved things like Harry's teeth shattering and then regrowing. But they showed it to a bunch of kids in like a test audience and they were like, we don't like this. We don't like this at all. Why'd you put this in this movie? We're terrified of this thing you've done. And the idea is also that the Green Goblin is conscious when Gwen Stacy dies. You'll notice that he like gets knocked out and he's not there to gloat and do his thing.
Yeah, right.
And he comes down, he starts laughing at Peter. So there was a few different variations on this.
Uh-huh.
One was he's the one who cuts the web. Which leads to her death. One is that he fatally stabs her, and one is where he breaks her neck with his bare hands.
Wow.
That's a lot. so many options.
But it's interesting, though, that her death is different than in the comics. In the comics,
it's a choice.
Yeah, well,
sort of. It's more like the... I'll stop.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say, in the comic, Spider-Man catches her with the web before she hits the ground, but her neck snaps. In this, she actually he's too late.
Yeah.
And her body hits the ground.
Yeah.
Green Goblin, not that green in this movie.
Should have used his magic blood, could have brought her back.
That's true.
Turn her into a goblin woman.
That's right. It says she's gobbling up these bloody floorboards. Hence the name.
Oh, and as a result of any of those versions of what they didn't put in, he nearly beats the Green Goblin to death. And there's actually this one image of it. Here it is. What do you think, Mason?
Wow.
Yeah, he loves it. He can't see it, but he loves it. He knows.
Sexy.
There was also this was also in the trailers and promotional material, but Peter Parker was under surveillance as well.
Yeah, because they're the men in the van.
Yeah.
But is there an additional van? Surely not.
Well, I think the idea initially was that they're following Peter Parker because they think something's up with him and maybe the ties to Richard Parker or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I might also have a reason for why that's not in the movie, which I'll talk
boring.
About. It's very boring. There's also a fully released scene, which you might have seen, where Peter Parker is at a cemetery, as he often is in these movies, and his father just walks up.
Huh.
Have you seen that?
No, but that's some swinging for the fences. That's just like, we'll put it in and we'll see what happens in the sequel. Maybe he'll be the chameleon. Maybe he'll be a ghost or a hologram or something. Imagination, don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, a funeral is pretty common fare for a Spider-Man
movie. Yeah.
I'm saying Spider-Man No Way Home, don't do a funeral challenge. If you're out there, Kevin Feige, you're watching this, you're not. But if you were, I don't know if you planned a funeral for No Way Home, if you filmed it, just take it out. Just be like, hey, it's MJ or Ned or Aunt May or whatever. They could just be like, you thought I was dead, but I wasn't. Just scrape my knee. Fine, actually.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this before, but 4 out of these 5 Spider-Man movies feature a funeral at the end.
Mm.
This is one of those. The Sony hack.
Yes.
This is interesting stuff.
Shouldn't have used those vios, is all I'm saying.
Not safe, apparently.
Anyway, this was our second ad for Sony vios. In this.
We should also mention that they use Google in this as opposed to Bing.
That's right, yeah.
As if that's like a noteworthy thing that we should bring up, I guess. Now, there was
we should use Bing.
Maybe we should.
Have you ever tried Bing?
I accidentally.
Maybe it's good.
Who knows? No one knows.
No one knows.
Isn't the number one search term on Bing for Google?
Probably.
Did you tell me that?
Sounds like something I would make up.
Was that in the last video?
Maybe.
Anyways, among the ideas for proposed sequels and spin-offs and all that, we got The Amazing Spider-Man 3, The Amazing Spider-Man 4, Sam Raimi coming back for a potential something.
Just a movie of him coming back. Yeah. That's what it was.
Sinister Six, Black Cat, a Venom solo movie, but a different Venom solo movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And an Aunt May prequel where she's maybe a spy or something. I should point out that a lot of these or some of these are just like spitballing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which I'm sure studios do all the time.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Warner Brothers haven't gone, Bruce Wayne's butler's dad is a... is Oh, no, they did that in the show,
they
maybe.
They actually made that show, yeah.
Great point, me.
And that's how they pitched it in the room as well. They're like, oh, Bruce Wayne's butler's daddy's... And the executives are like, sold. Stop digging, you've struck gold.
Like, I was trying to pick something that would be dumb to do.
Too late, they've done them all.
Anyway, there was also among this notes from Kevin Feige.
Oh, yeah.
Extensive notes about how to fix this movie.
Okay.
Which essentially plays like just an episode of what we do here, except much better, much more coherent.
And he's got some power and some say in these things.
Yeah, so here's... this
for now.
Here's some of it, but not all of it.
Okay.
Okay. There are too many storylines, and we need to choose which ones we are focusing on and lift out the other ones, i.e. could reduce Father's arc to just Roosevelt? I don't know who that is, or what that is. I cannot remember.
The station. The station.
Oh, yeah, the train that comes out of the ground, you need the coins from the whatever.
Does one of Kevin Feige's notes say, so do you get the subway tokens back, or how's that work? If you run out of subway, are they special subway tokens? Are they standard subway tokens? If you run out of subway tokens, if they're just regular subway tokens, why would you hide them in the calculator?
Yeah.
Just have them in your pockets. If they're special subway tokens, if you run out of subway tokens, can you not go to your lab anymore?
No.
Are you making the coins in the lab? Or do you get them somewhere else?
Lock yourself out of your lab.
All right.
Get your coin making machines in there.
We agree with you, Kevin Feige.
Could have cut the plane crash out. Hmm?
This is a great cross-promotional marketing synergy. What do you know, Kevin Feige?
And also...
producer of the most popular franchise in film history.
And also Richard destroying spiders and start on the armored car. Don't start with Spider-Man. Let the danger / stakes to New York City build first and then have Spider-Man enter the scene heroically. Tone down Paul Giamatti's performance so he seems a bit more menacing and less cartoonish. Strong disagree there.
Yep. Like, very true. Yeah.
I like seeing his little briefs.
Yeah.
His little rhino underwear, whatever wearing. Really loved Electro. Feels like you may not need the scene in his apartment, which makes him seem completely crazy and hard to relate to. Yeah. Nobody, it's my birthday or something. Shut up.
Right?
Shut up, nerd. There is too much back and forth with Peter and Gwen. Can we cut the dim sum scene so it doesn't feel so repetitive of their breakup in the last movie? Can Peter be more honourable and definitive and less wishy-washy? All the special backstory with his super scientist dad fights with the idea that Peter is a normal kid from Queens who becomes the greatest superhero in the world. Andrew's performance is all over the place.
Whoa.
Ooh. He's a good actor. What are you talking about? I like him. A lot of
What I like about Andrew Garfield is clearly he's just gone, well, I made my money with my Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do weird indie movies from now on.
And then a Spider-Man movie,
then
of course.
Then come back for a Spider-Man movie. Money ran out, maybe. I don't know.
A lot of crying and then a lot of mania. Hard to track him emotionally sometimes. It undermines his reaction to Gwen's death because he gets upset and emotional a lot.
Mm.
Don't like the idea that Mary tells Peter his parents were spies because 2 seconds later he finds out that they are not and it fights against... and it again fights with the idea that he's an ordinary kid. Surveillance scene should be about following Harry, not Peter.
Correct.
No one should be following Peter. Mm. There you go. Maybe interconnect to the ending montage and hearing Gwen's speech with someone going into the special projects and revealing more Easter eggs and see the rhino case has been broke into and the suit is missing. Great way to transition into the rhino ending, which they ended up doing some version of that.
Yeah, but the guy comes in and he goes through the lab and then the news reporter's like, where's Spider-Man? This rhino character's causing a bit of a ruckus.
I want to talk about that guy in a minute.
Okay, great.
Spider-Man needs to feel more directly responsible for preventing the planes from crashing. Why is that even there at all, though? They just come to that plane. They're like, this plane of people you don't know. This isn't the Dark Knight on the boat. No one gives a shit. Get rid of this. And the last note I've got here is, don't show New Yorkers looting, which is probably a good point.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But New Yorkers love looting. Come on.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. They
put on a Yankees cap and they do some looting and it's great fun. It's a tradition.
They put on a second hat that says, I heart looting.
That's right.
On top of that hat.
Yeah.
Now, it was also revealed in these leaks that Marvel was initially interested in merging these universes together, but it kind of fell through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why also Kevin Feige was involved in these notes, because he's like, if I have to inherit this version of Spider-Man,
yes,
can you make it better, please, for me? Mm-hmm. But also, of course, soon after this, Andrew Garfield was fired for speaking out against the movie and also not meeting with a bunch of, like, executives or whatever.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, but, like, fuck it. If I made this, I'd be like, nah, I'm not going to that.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. But he missed one meeting, is that?
Yeah.
That's okay, all right, great.
Yeah. Maybe it was an important meeting.
Maybe it was an important meeting.
There's probably a lot of synergy happening.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. This is the crucial Vio meeting.
You want some amazing trivia, whatever this segment is called?
Some amazing trivia, yes, please. Small text, full stop at the end. Some amazing trivia.
They wanted to recast J. Jonah Jameson, but couldn't find someone to live up to the part.
So no one.
Just
an email.
An email, yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but there's a mid-credits teaser in this for Fox's X-Men Days of Future Past, exclusively in cinemas.
Oh.
We got the goblin's head in a jar or whatever happened. There's a goblin head in a jar, deleted, ending or whatever.
Oh.
I think. Look, I stopped before the end, but I'm pretty sure it was there. That's from memory. And that movie's produced by 20th Century Fox, right?
That's true.
But director Mark Webb, he violated a contract with Fox to make this film. So in order to return the favor, Sony were like, okay, we'll promote an unrelated X-Men movie in this.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Gustav Fiers.
All right.
Gustav Fiers, Mason. You know the character of Gustav Fiers? He's appeared in both movies.
God, let me think. Can I narrow down who this guy is? Is he a guy in the lab?
Yeah, he's a guy in the lab. He's in the lab at one point.
Gustav Fiers.
You don't see his face and he wears a hat. He's that guy.
Couldn't place him. Probably because of the hat.
You know, he's the sinister man.
Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah, sure. Bucket hat. Yeah. Mr. Bucket hat. Okay, you should have said Mr. Bucket hat.
So Gustav Fiers, also known as...
Gustav Fiers!
Gustav Fiers, also known as the Gentleman, is a mysterious criminal and associate of Harry Osborn and Oscorp Industries. It is rumored that the man that tried to kill Peter's parents in the prologue of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was either a younger Gustav Fiers.
Gustav Fiers!
Who survived falling out of the plane, or his or his brother, Carl Fiers.
Carl Fiers.
AKA The Finisher.
Wow.
So there you go. It's rumored that that's the case.
Incredible.
And just quickly.
Can't wait for their spin-off, Tears for Fiers. Because I died or my brother died. We're sad about
it. Or we're the same person.
Maybe
or something.
We're the same, yeah.
There was an alternate ending among many. It was from an unused draft of the screenplay.
We've got seven endings for this. We don't know which one to use. Could we use them all? Kevin, can we use all of them? No? All right, we've got to pick one. All right.
So this screenplay had Gwen surviving Spider-Man's climactic showdown with the Goblin. She's critically injured. Oh, yeah. But that thing I said was a joke. Okay. In order to save her life, Spider-Man performs an emergency transfusion using his own blood. And as a side effect, this act endows her with powers similar to Peter Parker's. In the final scene, Gwen, in her Spider-Gwen costume, now calling herself the White Widow, joins Spider-Man's fight against the Rhino.
Huh.
I think that would have been okay to do.
I would have liked that.
And again, she's actually a character here. You know what I mean? Like prior to her death, unlike the comics. So why not?
Well, I mean, probably because the Spider-Man DNA wouldn't work on her because she's not...
But she doesn't have the Green Goblin disease, Mason.
Oh, that's a good point also, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it would also suggest that Peter Parker now can provide the cure for death. I mean, that is the problem generally with magic blood that can bring anybody back to life.
That is true.
Present a little bit of an issue. But he could just be like, well, that was my last bit of blood. Can't give out any more blood.
Nah, I'm out of blood. Mm-hmm. I'm bloodless. Yeah. I'm a bloodless boy. I'm 30. Anyway...
But I think that would have been nice, and, you know, it's a different continuity.
Yeah, so
Gwen Stacy doesn't have to die, and again, she is back in the comic books. A parallel universe version of her, so it's fine.
They should actually bring back Emma Stone in the role, for real. Legit. Yeah.
Cool.
And it's too legit for me to quit.
Maybe they will.
Yeah, maybe they will.
Maybe they have in...
The new one.
Yeah.
This is
and if not, we get it trending, and then they have to.
We make them.
We make them do it. We get the fans in a bloodlust for bringing back Emma Stone.
Hashtag hyperplasia paracetamol or whatever it was.
That's right. And then they're just outside Marvel headquarters stamping their feet and yelling. And they're like, oh, we're gonna get Emma Stone back. And she's like, I'm busy. I'm doing another thing. And they're like, it's not. You cannot be busy, Emma Stone. We'll all be killed. They've surrounded Marvel headquarters.
This movie, though, I don't think I mentioned the budget last week of the first one. Mm-hmm. That was made for about $230 million and made $758, which is far from a flop.
Mm.
Not the highest grossing, but it's not expected that it would be because it's like it's a reboot, you know what I mean? This one, off a $293 million budget.
That's more.
With an additional marketing budget of $190 million.
Man, that's heaps.
That's Sony Vise. It must be worth a pretty penny, mate.
That's right.
This only made $709 million, which caused everything to fall down and nobody cares and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Mm. What a movie. I still think it's not all terrible. Like, okay. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I think there's enough stuff here at its core that...
I think it's a very popular opinion. I think you're just saying what everybody's thinking. Maybe you haven't had a bloody original thought in your life.
Yes. Yeah. Look, and don't get me wrong, it's a fucking disaster. Like, it's an absolute just shit smeared on a wall of ideas of a movie.
It's too much. Too many ideas.
But there's still, again, the core of it. If you whittled a bunch of it down, sure, why not?
I bet someone has.
Who? You?
No. Why? Ugh. To learn how to use editing software. A lot of work. No, thank you.
Yeah, I think there's even ideas in this which make it better than The Amazing Spider-Man because it's less of a retread.
Yeah.
I mean, how can it be a retread when there's this many ideas? Like, that's not even possible anyway. I don't even know if what I'm saying makes any sense or if that's even a good point. Anyways, this is...
You just want to gobbling up the runtime of this video, James.
You're not wrong. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this here every week. And if you'd like to see these videos early, you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co where they go up. Just early, like I said.
Heaps early.
Sometimes a little bit early. There's also bonus podcasts. There's also movie commentaries. There's also our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out there a full day early.
That's right.
And here's a hint towards what's coming next week on Caravan of Garbage. That's right. We're looking at Tilt the Room.
Australia's own. Wow.
I think it's Ghostbusters. I think we're doing Ghostbusters stuff or whatever.
We couldn't just do novelty Australian game shows for a few weeks. We could do Tilt the Room. We could do Hole in the Wall.
We could do the one where they all learned to ice skate and all the contestants broke their ankles as they were filming it.
Yeah. Ankle snapper.
ankle snapper down under.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you do have any suggestions for Caravan of Garbage, please let us know. If there's anything specific Spider-Man that you'd like us to cover, because now we've done all the mainline movies, there's so much other stuff, obviously, like animated comics, whatever, please let us know.
There's Spider-Man comics?
Not to my knowledge. I think they're coming. They're going to spin off the movie.
A bit of a tie-in. Yeah. You want us to review, like, Spider-Man Happy Meal toys or something? We'll do it.
We'll do it.
Just send them to us.
Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Thank you to Ben and Lawrence for the edit.
They've done it again.
Absolutely exhausting work. But we'll see you guys next time.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you real soon.
Goodbye. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.